How's it going, everybody? Appreciate you tuning in. On this episode, we're going to be talking about the Turkey Tour, which I'm actually stopped in a gas station parking lot recording this intro right now. Got a little bit behind on posting these podcasts, so we're going to post one today, and then we're going to be posting another one here real soon about calling. So this one's going to be focusing on the Turkey Tour and what we're looking forward to the most, fun memories from last season, and new tactics and strategies that we plan to put into place this season as well. So hopefully you guys are getting fired up for turkey hunting just like we are. If you guys haven't checked out the channel, we've got videos going up right now. The guys have been hunting with youth hunters down in Mississippi, so we've got fresh action on the channel. But I'm trying to get a bunch of things done as well as continue driving down south. So I'm gonna wrap this up. Hopefully you guys enjoy the podcast and be looking out for more content soon. All right. We got Hayden on the line, and we are talking Turkey Tour 2024. Well, we're talking 2024, but I guess the first question is Turkey Tour 2023. What's your favorite memory from last season?
Definitely taking Allie out and getting her first turkey. We had gone for a few years and hadn't closed the deal yet, so getting her first turkey was definitely the highlight. I didn't have much time to hunt with the rest of the crew last year with having the new warehouse, so that was definitely the highlight of my season for sure.
Yeah, that was a sweet hunt. I was the one that was lucky enough to edit that, and I'm feeling like we talked about it on a podcast at some point or another, but maybe we haven't. But that was a really fun one to edit because just the excitement and like some of those clips where she didn't actually know you were rolling with the GoPro were so hilarious to me. So if you haven't seen that video, please, folks, go over to the channel and watch it. I want to say that's like, man, it would be a weird memory, but it is the right number, but I think it's episode 37.
Sounds right. I think it was the last one of the year last year.
Okay. So then moving into this season. No. Sorry. I'm ahead of myself. What's a lesson that you learned last season?
I guess the first lesson I learned, I typically am not one to just like wait a turkey out. And the first hunt of the year I had in Iowa when I was by myself, I found these birds on the roost. I couldn't get them to cross this big ravine and come to where I was set up, and they eased off onto the property I couldn't hunt in the middle of the day. And during that time when they're not on that ridge, I went to where they're roosted, found there was tons of sign tore up in there, and went out, grabbed some lunch, and just came back to where they were roosted that prior evening and set up there and waited for them to come back. I'd never done that before, and it happened to work. So I think just like trying to anticipate where they're going to come back to roost and using that as a strategy was a new one and something I learned a little bit about last year.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great lesson learned, and something that I feel is one of those deals that until you start practicing that strategy, it's kind of hard to believe that it could be so simple, but sometimes they do just come right back to that same spot, especially if they've got a roost that they really like. And obviously as the season progresses, turkeys will move and their patterns will shift, but you know, day to day, it's almost like just anticipating a buck going to a buck bedding area. If you know he's using that bedding area from previous hunts and sightings and sign, you can anticipate he'll use that the next day. And I feel like turkeys are very, very similar in that way. And we've had a lot of good hunts doing that. So
yeah, especially early in the season, like similar to deer, they just seem to be more patternable during that time of year before they're getting pressure. So
I completely agree. Moving into this season, what are the things that you're looking forward to most?
Just definitely being with the rest of the team again. I honestly don't think I hunted with anybody from THP a single time last year.
Really?
No, I don't think so. And I think we've talked about this on the podcast before too, just because you were in the same boat last year with your knee. But yeah, I mean, that's my favorite part about turkey hunting, and just the fact that, I mean, it's like the muzzleloader deer drives, just the camaraderie aspect of it. Like that's become my favorite part about it. So
for sure,
that's definitely what I'm looking forward to the most, and traveling a couple places outside the Midwest. Cause while I was hunting by myself and trying to stay localized to Wisconsin last year. I didn't get to go as far away. So looking forward to doing some more traveling.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. That's what I'm looking forward to the most as well, is just being with friends again. And like, I got to a little bit of it last year at the very end, but yeah, just missing out a whole season. I mean, I don't know that I've said this part on the podcast yet, but there was one day in particular. It was right about the time I always start hunting with my buddies in Ohio, about, you know, my whole life, like the beginning of season. And I woke up that morning, looked outside, it was kind of raining, and I was just like, man, I want to be hunting with my friends. And I just had a little cry by myself. I'm not too proud to say, just like, you know, dang, I missed that. So
yeah,
obviously means a lot. So I'm looking forward to it.
No more tears this spring, Zach.
No more tears. That's a pretty sure that's an Ozzy Osbourne song.
Also like a shampoo for kids. Label.
All right. So what are some new tactics that you plan to try out this season or expand on this season?
I would say probably like that roost location thing, or just trying to do more of like reading sign and like giving areas with higher amounts of sign more time. Mm-hmm. I think like earlier on, I've just been more rammy and just like only focusing on birds that are vocal, but depending on areas where pressure levels or bird numbers, like that's not always the case. So, like, have to rely on those other things like sign, scratching the leaves, what have you. So just trying to focus more on that and trying to put it all together, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. The one thing that I think is going to be a common theme is like all of these answers that I've got so far kind of come back in a way to patience. And mm-hmm. I feel that sometimes when we're struggling, we're not being patient enough. And I mean, that can look a lot of different ways. Like, maybe it's just giving it a few more minutes when you're trying to locate running and gunning. Maybe it's setting up and just hanging out inside, or setting up on the roost, you know, in an evening hunt. It can look a lot of different ways, but patience in general is something that I feel like we constantly want to try to expand on and just, you know, utilize that as much as possible. Because, yeah, everybody loves to go walking down the ridge, strike up a turkey, walk to the place that seems like it makes sense, set up, call him right in, and get him. But How many times does that really happen in a season? A handful at best, at very best. And that's if you're hunting, you know, a lot. But I just feel that patience is a good thing and something we're not all that good at, generally speaking. All right. Well, I guess that's all of the questions I have for the Turkey Tour. So thanks, Hayden, for your time. Get you on the next one. All right, everybody. We've got Jake, and we're going to be talking about the Turkey Tour this season to start. This is a great time for me to do this one because I didn't have any, or I shouldn't say any, but not very many memories from the Turkey Tour last season. So what's your favorite memory from last Turkey Tour?
Probably either my hunt with Crystal or the one with Cooper, that kid that we took out with Keith Polk down in Mississippi. He was like, you could just tell he was like super, super excited. That was his first turkey hunt. And like, you could just tell that it wasn't going to be his last one. So I think probably the one with Cooper. I'll have more with Crystal. I don't know how many more times I'll have to be able to hunt with that kid, but it was pretty fun. You could just tell he was excited. Sometimes kids like, I think they don't know how to show their emotions, but like, he was just like real outspoken about how excited he was, and it was cool.
Yeah, that is cool. I remember you talking about that one. I think I was still pretty drugged up laying on the couch, and you called me and told me that was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything that like comes to mind that was a lesson that you learned from last turkey season, whether that be something you learned the hard way or like some sort of, I guess, theory that you've come up with that maybe, you know, certain hunts helped?
A fresh one that's in my mind since you put that video together is I kind of forgot that Ted put me on that turkey or those turkeys in Iowa. Like, I was going to stop short kind of where I thought they were, but the safe bet is kind of like they were roosted kind of close to a property line. Mm-hmm. And it was later in the season, so a safe bet seems to always be just get, you know, on the opposite side of the turkeys from access after you roost them, and because they're generally going to drift away. I mean, that's what the science even says, is they're going to drift away from access. And basically we got set up straight between the private property line and where they were roosted, and they flew down right in our laps. We didn't have to make a call. So I feel like that's something that's kind of easily, like, that could be something where we have to relearn that lesson. You know, it seems like we're always doing that with certain things throughout the season, but that's something that I had kind of forgot about.
Yeah, that is a good one. It's almost like, in a way, don't overthink the setup or think that you can get away with something that you're not as confident about. Like, if you're confident in something, in this case, it's get between them and the property line, you know, on the other side of them from the access, that's something you can feel pretty confident in. And even if they do go the other way, you still have a play from there. But on the other hand, right, if you don't get between them, they go onto private, well, then your morning's over.
Mm-hmm.
That is a good one. I feel like that's something that every season you have to relearn a little bit, but mm-hmm. it is good to have in the front of your mind. What are you looking forward to most going into this season? That can be certain hunts, certain locations, anything.
Just hunting with some of the same people and hopefully some new people that we have hunted with in the past. And then I'm going to do my bachelor party towards the end of turkey season, I think. So just get a bunch of my buddies together, hopefully, that haven't turkey hunted at all, really, or have turkey hunted very little. I think it'll be pretty funny and fun.
Yeah, so. It will be fun. Mm-hmm. So I guess this kind of plays into that same question about lesson you learned, or kind of an extension of that, maybe. Is there any different tactic or tactics that you are wanting to either try or expand on this season? Could be calling related.
I got those coyote calls last year. I'll probably start doing more of that, mm-hmm. just because my voice was getting sore. I know Shane Simpson says you can do it with any diaphragm call, and he can, but I don't know if that means that I can yet.
I got
the MFK game calls. I know Gooch went down and hunted with that guy. I mean, they're specifically made for coyotes, and I can make coyote sounds on them pretty easily, so I just went with that. And then I also went, when we were at the NWTF convention, I went and we listened to the owl hooting portion of it.
Yeah.
And all those guys had some sort of tube they were using to screech with. I mean, that's something that, you know, I've been trying to figure out for a couple of years, just because it does work so well to get turkeys to shot gobble. But it seems like a good option for me would be just to get one of them tubes, mm-hmm. and do it that way, because that sounded pretty good what those guys were doing.
Yeah, I remember us talking about Dylan Hazen, because he's hunted with Mike at Woodhaven so much that he's learned a lot of unique calling techniques that we mm-hmm. haven't necessarily mastered or even mm-hmm. come close to. But that real owl thing, I just came across a clip yesterday of it, is why I'm bringing it up, is he hits that thing and does more of that screech mm-hmm. through the tube, and that sounds pretty sweet. It sounds really real too, why it's called the real owl.
I could get better at all things calling, but definitely could get better at just the all the different locator sounds, crow calling, everything.
Yeah,
just being able to do a little bit of everything. Like Nick's real good on the crow call, where he's been teaching me some on how to blow that. And then Woodhaven just came out with a new one that seems like it might be something I'm interested in.
I've been trying this. I'm going to embarrass myself now, but
oh yeah, you got scouts' attention. That's good.
Yeah, I've been working on that ever since I saw Shane do it, and it's like until I started realizing that you got to push it through like a specific spot. Like I have to go through that little battery cut there. So that's what's been working, but it's kind of hard not to blow it out too much. That's where I think having maybe one that's made specifically for it would allow you to get a little bit louder, but yeah, I think that's a good idea. All right, well, I guess that's it for that segment. Appreciate your time, and thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Warb, what is your favorite memory from last turkey tour?
Probably going with Miles, and then the Northeast trip, I would say. That's not true. Man, it's a long season, so there's that. Taking the kids in Mississippi, running around with them, Thrash family, Polk family, then taking Miles hunting for the first time for turkeys, and then the Northeast trip with Ilderton and John Lewis and Jake Lynch and Jake, our Jake and Ted. Yeah. That was pretty freaking fun. So yeah.
I know it seemed like everybody thought that one was like probably one of the most fun trips. It's funny though. Like I always ask these questions and there's like some of them are fairly straightforward answers, but like, what's your favorite memory? It's like all of them.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there were some memories that I wasn't real fond of, like in Missouri when I was filming myself for a week and I missed those two turkeys in less than an hour and got just the most awful footage ever of both of them. It was just like, man, what a failure. those are not good memories.
That's true.
But
so what is a lesson that you feel like you learned last season? I mean, that's pretty general, but kind of anything that comes to mind about like something you learned maybe the hard way, or maybe just had more reps of the same thing and you're like, oh yeah, that is true, I should pay attention to that.
Just the stress part of it, like I just said, I didn't really I got to a point last year where I didn't really want to go, and I was just making myself go because I was so mad at him at that particular time. I was like, no, I mean, it's okay to just not go.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to just, that's my point, like, with the missing turkeys day is, I was down there, I had to wake up at like 2 a.m. on almost no sleep, and I went hunting by myself with the camera, and sometimes that's great, sometimes it's awesome.
Yeah.
But I just didn't have any, like, there was a 2 or 3 day period there where it was not fun. And I should have just, like, looking back on it, it's like, just don't go.
Yeah, just take a
break.
Just
sleep. Yeah, just sleep or take a break or, you know, do something else. Go fish or whatever and then come back to it. Mm-hmm. But I get so, you know, in the moment of spring, it's like, I got to go now. It's almost over. I've just always got that in my head. Like, you only have so many days out there. But there certainly is days that you have way more fun than others.
Oh, yeah.
And that was what I learned from that experience.
Yeah, kind of one of the things that it's kind of been a progression, but it's along those lines, a progression of learning year after year is you can oftentimes be like, I'm going to go and force it no matter what the weather is. But then you look back on those days where it was kind of raining or, you know, you knew looking at the weather that it wasn't going to be your best bet. And then you end up wearing yourself out on those days just to be more, you know, mentally, I guess, tired on the good day. And it's like, in hindsight, looking back on it, especially having missed most of last year, I had this realization of like, well, this year you missed like damn near the whole thing, so you can afford to miss a rain day next year. Like, it kind of helped teach me that again by missing a lot of it, if that makes sense. Like, you're going to be all right if you miss a day or two or three. Or seven.
Yeah, the mental side of it is something that I've learned over the last few years. Is like you're talking about being physically tired, but also mentally tired. When you get mentally tired, you make a lot more mental mistakes. Like your instincts almost don't seem to work as good as they do when you're rested or when you're excited to go, like when you're upbeat, when you're positive. But when you're out there and it's bad weather and you're exhausted, tired, and your brain's not working real great, it's just that's when mistakes happen. Mm-hmm. And then it just sort of compounds itself. It's like it's already not going the best. And then you have a bunch of almost, you know, forced errors, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like it makes your team dynamic different too. Like where I feel like I personally get on a lack of sleep more like growly, you know.
Yeah,
just
I
like,
do. I do as well. Don't everybody do that. Does. Yeah. It's like, man, everybody in the group, you can just tell by day one or two, everybody's like wide eyed and having a great time. And then after you haven't killed anything and you're really on a struggle ship, if you say that, you know, for like 5 or 6 days later, you're just burnt. Mm-hmm. Everybody's just toast.
Fried, yeah.
But yeah.
So going into this season, what's something that you're looking forward to the most?
New states and hopefully getting Miles's first turkey. We don't have as many chances to take him this spring as I did last spring, but I'm going to still – we probably have to go after school a few days and maybe before school, mm-hmm. which he gets out of school at like 2:30 in the afternoon, and this year they just opened up all-day hunting in Missouri for private lands only.
Really? That's kind of
so slick. I could pick him up at school and take him to the farm, and we could get in an afternoon or an evening hunt or two.
Yeah, that'll be good.
So, yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to the most. And then a couple new places. Like, we're going to go to Louisiana and hunt. That'll be interesting. South Carolina. You know, there's some others. Might go to the Northwest. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to those.
Yeah, I feel like that's the same as, like, for me, going with people, trying to go get – you know, first turkeys, get more experience in general, and then, yeah, I always love the new places.
Yeah.
I'm also just looking forward to going, so, I mean, seriously.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing is you have these anticipations of what's going to be great and whatnot, but you never really know. I mean, it's all fun. Right. Especially helps when you get into turkeys.
Definitely. So, are there any new tactics or strategies that you're looking to try or expand on going into this year?
Not really off the top of my head. I thought about that question a little bit. No, I'm just fascinated with how these birds react to pressure and how they behave differently because of it. Like I like those turkeys that are, well, I guess I have kind of a love-hate relationship with those turkeys that don't just come straight in, you know, which is most of them.
Yep.
I just think it's interesting how they all behave a little bit differently and how they react to pressure. I mean, we just did that seminar about it at NWTF. Mm-hmm. And when we're talking about hunting pressure, we're not necessarily talking about pressure just on public land. It just goes for any turkey that's encountering hunting pressure. Mm-hmm. But that's, I mean, I know that's not necessarily a tactic, but I'm interested in dealing with more of those types of turkeys.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that you have to get creative to kill a lot of times to get a chance at. And you learn a lot on those individual hunts.
Yeah. I think if there was like a word for it, maybe what comes to my mind is just patience with those turkeys, like practicing patience where you know he's there and maybe that patience looks like sitting up on a high point where you can hear a lot, just trying to, you know, get a pattern on him, or you're looking for sign, but essentially putting a little bit more time into when you find that turkey and just kind of not rushing things, which I think we all can have a tendency to do that from time to time. And patience is obviously a very helpful tactic in any hunting, but especially turkey.
Yep.
All right, well, I guess that's it for that segment, so appreciate your time, Warb, and catch you on the next one. We got Nick on the line now, and Nick, talking about turkey tour, what was your favorite memory from last year's turkey tour?
I'm sorry, Blue, go lay down. I'm on a call. Go lay down. Anyways, go lay down. My favorite memory from last year, I don't know, I really enjoyed the big camp at the end of the year when we're all in Wisconsin.
Yep.
Because that was like, I was telling my buddy last night, me and my buddy were frog gigging, and we were talking about last turkey season. He was asking me about it, and I was like, yeah, I got to Wisconsin, and I didn't realize until I left, but I was there for 21 days straight. Just 21 days of turkey hunting in a row in Wisconsin, which was awesome.
Yes.
You know? And then when everybody got there, you and Whitney got there, Ted was there. We just had a real big camp, and it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool because I was there for so long, people kept rotating through. Like, that was just one huge trip for me. Bruce Hall came in twice. Warb came in. My dad came in. Y'all came in. So it was just like a revolving door of different turkey camps, but based out of the same place, which is great. And the weather's awesome, and the turkeys are awesome. And I'd have to say that was probably my favorite part of the whole season.
Yeah, that's sweet. So thinking back on last year as well, is there anything that comes to mind that was like a lesson that you learned last year? That can be something you learned the hard way. It could be something that you needed a little refresher on. But like, what's something that comes to mind that was something you learned?
I think me and Keith learned a pretty good lesson on persistence and patience. Because a lot of times we seem to get real impatient with turkeys just because it's like, you know, if you're not hearing something, just roll to the next. Keep going. Me and Keith were getting whooped in Alabama pretty good for like 3 days in a row, hearing very little gobbling. And what we were hearing was distant, like couldn't pinpoint them. And then finally one day we found a bird. We're moving in. Somebody beats us to him. Like how they came in is like they had to have parked right next to us and then went around the other way. So that was like frustrating. But in that we found, like, we heard one distant gobble and we look on the map and there's like a river between us and it took an hour to drive around to that side because of a mountain. And it was just difficult. And then when we got in there, we weren't finding any sign really. It was a gom for like a mile and a half to get in. And so remember Keith was like, let's just sit down and eat a snack. I was like, all right, great idea. I would love to just sit down, maybe even take a nap. So we sit down, and here's a lesson learned that we seem to always learn is if you're going to sit down where you can be prepared. Keep your gun in your lap, make it to where you don't got to make a big move, you know, sit in a shady spot, sit on a good tree, you know. So we just kind of plop down in the sun, not against a tree. And it's not 2 minutes after we sit down, we can hear turkeys walking coming towards us, and we can hear drumming. And these turkeys just go right out of sight. So this is where the patience had to pay off, is we had to let them go and then move up. And then the persistence to stay in there, once they moved off and we couldn't really find them again, just stay in there, went and scouted out this bottom where they had come from to figure out a game plan for the next day. Assuming we would know these turkeys were in there, we thought they'd be roosted in there, found a good area to hunt them, a good way to hunt them, and then moved in there the next morning. Long story short, Keith kills a turkey. There was like five long beards in there. Just a little untapped sweet spot, and patience and persistence definitely paid off on that.
Yeah, that's sweet. I really like that idea of setting yourself up for the next day. I feel like as time has gone on, I've realized the value in that, where sometimes you're greedy doesn't feel like the word, but you're just so hung up on, I gotta get one. That you're not looking at like the long term, to where it's like, okay, if I go scout this place out, have kind of some areas that I know I can just plop down and set up, or maybe like brush in a little spot, you know, the day before, things like that to set yourself up for the next day, I feel like hold a lot of value. And it took, you know, a bunch of days of failure before you realize it's like, wait, maybe if I'm just patient here, set that up, know what we're doing, then we go in there and we're just real efficient.
Yeah, and that's how it played out. And it helped us do that because, like, we had a time cutoff where we couldn't hunt past a certain time.
Yep.
So it's like, you know, after that time, you're not going to be – you're going to be scouting. So, you know, we made the point to effectively scout what we could potentially hunt the next morning, know how we could move in the dark, where about we wanted to sit, things like that. And it paid off. I mean, cause we had a bird killed right off the bat that morning. And that was a tough trip. I mean, that was the only turkey we killed when we were there. And we ended up hunting in that around there for like almost a week and really just got beat up the whole time. So it paid off.
Yeah. That's cool. What are you looking forward to most going into this season?
Really hunting new areas. The dog's mad. He's tearing up a toy. I thought it was the cat. I just bought a new love seat, and the cat's been just attacking it and just clawing it to pieces. And I thought I got a little spray water bottle. I spray the cat with it. But anyway, sorry. going new places. I think, and I don't know if we will, but like I'm super excited the prospect of go to the Northeast or the Northwest. Just areas that I've never been to before that seem really intriguing because I've watched videos and heard stories of everybody going to these areas and just having a hell of a time. I'm really excited about that. I don't know. I actually, so I'm fired up for this. You were out all last season. I've been thinking about this. Like I've been watching the video I made of you last year talking about how you missed it. And then I'm pulling Matthew McConaughey and it's his Dazed and Confused clip. I've been watching that. So I'm excited. Is my only turkey hunting experience with you is 2 years ago in my internship interview in Mississippi. And then last year for a couple days at the end, the very end of the season when you and Whitney came to Wisconsin. So I haven't turkey hunted with you much at all.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to do that. That's one of the, we've deer hunted a lot together. We've pronghorn hunted together, but we haven't really turkey hunted together. So that I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I am looking forward to that. The thing that I'm looking forward to the most is just going, you know, just being out there with people. And yeah, like, you know, I'd say this is the case for everyone in our group, but it's not as much about shooting the turkey as it is just being out there and getting the experience. Like filming it is a lot of fun. I feel like I'm more excited about actually like shooting deer and elk than I am turkeys. Whereas like turkeys, I like I could just film the whole season and would be content with it and enjoy it. I mean, obviously like shooting them too, don't get me wrong, but for some reason with turkeys, I feel that it's like you can hunt with so many people and it's just such a collaboration effort that makes it so fun.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you're looking to try tactic wise or a tactic or strategy that you're looking to like expand on? Maybe you've done a little bit in the past, but you're like, yeah, that really worked and I could improve on that.
I feel like this is something I think about every year going into the season is I always know the hardest call I think to master is silence. Knowing when to not call, when to not push it, you know, to kind of tie into patience like we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. The silence call is the hardest one to do because when the bird is hammering and every time you touch the call, he's gobbling, but he's not moving at all. It's so hard to not sit there and just keep yelping at him from the same tree. Yeah. So something I'd really like to consciously make an effort in is to know when to just hold off, be quiet, and when to like make little moves. If you're sitting there and you're yelping from the same tree for an hour, and he's not moving, figuring out it, let's just say, you know, if the turkey's 100 yards away and we know that there's not a lot of room for movement on him, but if you could just find the littlest bit of micro terrain to maneuver around to give that turkey a different sound from a different place, seeking out those opportunities, I think is going to be something I want to work on because that's, I feel like that's a really overlooked aspect of turkey hunting. Because I do it all the time. I get so caught up. This bird's gobbling. You know, I can hear him drumming, but he's not coming. So I know he's close. And just taking that leap and making a little move, you know, backing out and swing around and get just at a different side and yelp to him from the side of his face instead of right at him, you know. Just something like that. And I get scared to make those moves when I get in those situations. Because like you were saying, you get so caught up, you're like, you know, we're trying to get one. It's like super hard to do. What's up, Greg?
I just totally bombed in on your podcast.
It's actually perfect. Let's roll with it. Let's just roll with it.
This is good.
Let's do it.
And then there were three.
What is happening?
So
don't mind if I just barge on.
No, I thought there was a great chance that would happen, and I was like, if it does, that's awesome. So I guess, Greg, to fill you in, what we're on right now is we're talking about tactics that we want to kind of expand on. And Nick is talking about being more patient and knowing when not to call and potentially readjust, make a different position. And I think, Nick, to kind of expand on what you just said, too, I feel like something that we all
get into a habit of as turkey hunters, because we all want to call the turkey in. It's like, it feels like the heroic turkey thing to do. It's like, I'm going to call him in. It's like, dude, if that thing is gobbling in the same place every time and you're just sitting there calling to him and he's gobbling or drumming and he's just out of sight, it's like, at what point are you doing more harm than good? He already knows you're there. So it's like sometimes that just shutting it all off completely and even just staying in the same place might be enough for him to break in the next half hour. But I feel that, it is a tough call, but sometimes it's what it takes, and you may not break him if you're just going to keep hammering. Like, you know, I look back when I was a kid, I'd just keep making the same exact call to him every time. And it's that was kind of silly. But
yeah, man, I don't want to like barge in or steal anybody's thunder here, but that, I just got done editing a hunt that I had last year in Wyoming, and I've got another one coming up in which, so the one in Wyoming, the one I just posted last night, don't know if you guys watched it, but anyways, this bird was hammering on the limb. I was calling to him, just feeding him, kept gobbling in the same spot, and then eventually he lost interest and drifted away, made a second setup, called a little bit less. I could tell like he just wasn't wanting to come into the call. He didn't come in there either. He just kind of drifted away, and then he was going up on a ridge to where, like, I knew I could make a loop, get around, get ahead of him. And at that point, like, I've already decided in my mind, like, I'm going to lay off the calls, like, almost completely. He was coming up on that ridge. He gobbled one time. I yelped lightly one time at him, I think, just to let him know, hey, there's a hen here, and then that's it. I just shut it down and waited for him. So I think, you know, just from what I understand from your guys' conversation coming into this, that, yeah, I mean, that's something that I learned on a couple of hunts last year, that sometimes less is more. Like, you just got to lay off of them. That's certainly something I'm trying to take into this next year. And then the hunt that I'm editing right now is the hunt where I killed a bird out on the prairie. It was kind of a really weird hunt, but anyways, ended up not even needing to call at all. Like, just happened to get set up in this spot where, like, I observed the bird do one thing the day before and had observed him in the past. Like, he always liked to get up on this high point and gobble. So I could tell that, like, he was taking the same path to get there. So I observed him do that the day prior that I killed him. And then the next day I snuck into this little tree line and basically got in between where he was roosting and that high point. And then he ended up, never needed to make a call. And actually there was a hen that came to him, and she brought him towards me as well. But I think either way, like, he was... like, I was just in the right spot. Didn't need to call, didn't need a decoy, anything like that. So,
yeah.
I feel like that's something that, you know, one of the questions, Greg, that I would ask everybody, but we've already, I mean, honestly, you've talked about a couple of different lessons that you've learned, and it all always ends up coming back to, in some way, at least, I feel you could frame it as patience. Because... as turkey hunters, we just are so forward thinking, like, we're going towards that turkey. We got to be aggressive, at least for the most part. Most of us in our group are that way, and pretty much everybody I've ever hunted with is that way. So sometimes just trying to read it and say, you know, at this point, I'm going to be more patient. And maybe you are aggressive with your calling, but a lot of times, even on those times where I'm aggressive, I'll tone it way back or shut it off completely at a certain point, because it's like, now I'm just going to draw more attention to myself. He's close enough now that I want him to come looking and not necessarily know exact. I use this example with Hayden. It's like, I want him to know I'm in the ballpark, but I don't know, want him to know what seed I'm in. I want him coming maybe close to that row, but he didn't know what seed I'm in. That way you got a better chance of not getting yourself busted.
Yeah.
I guess, Greg, real quick too, to incorporate you into this one is, what's your favorite memory from last season?
Oh, probably a couple of them. One is more personal. The other, what I would say is the early season youth hunting with Thrash and the kids in Mississippi.
Yeah.
Like, it was really cool and really encouraging to see these young kids being able to conduct themselves on a turkey hunt. Like, you know, Reed's old enough, basically, like, he can do it all himself. He can call the bird in and do everything. So it's awesome to see that. And then, yeah, I mean, just to see the ethics that Josh is instilling in these kids and seeing the way that they conduct themselves in the field. And not only that, just among the group of us, like, just their, ability to communicate and that was super cool. That was a highlight of the season. That was started the season off. Another highlight would be actually one of the birds I just referred to, the one I shot, that I had to set up on a few different times. No, excuse me, it was the bird in Wyoming. So anyways, the video that just aired last night, I had, obviously the hunt was awesome. Like it was really cool. Like I went in with the idea that I was going to backpack camp, like I was going to camp back in there. I ended up getting the bird that morning. So I didn't need all that gear, but once I got to the edge of the timber, I had all that gear with me. I just like got my jet boil out, made some food, had a bubbler with me. I was sitting there on the edge of this meadow with a sage flat, the pine hills behind me. It was just the smell of the sage. It was just so pungent. Like it was like just all the conditions were just awesome. Like it's just the sounds, the smells, sitting there with the bird next to me, like had an awesome hunt. Like that was just really cool.
Yeah.
To just sit there, like just to sit back, soak up the sun, enjoy the sights and the sounds and the smells and all that. That was really cool.
Yeah. I think that's the coolest part about turkey season in general is there's this feeling of hope. The weather's coming back. You're starting to be like, it's going to be that time of year where it's not such short days and cold and snowy. I mean, not that there's not parts of that that I appreciate parts of that too, but I feel like in springtime you do have a moment or two or 100 every year where you're sitting there and you're like, all right, this is pretty nice.
Life is good.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah, that was kind of a standout moment. One of those times where, had success and was just able to really relax and just take everything in. That's kind of cool because a lot of times it can be a grind. It can be go, go, go.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes hard to stop and really relax and enjoy. So that was, that was a highlight.
So last question for this particular podcast, and then we'll switch gears and record the second segment. But Greg, what are you looking forward to most this season?
Probably just the group hunts again. Like, mm-hmm. honestly, getting you back in the mix, like that's definitely a plus. Looking forward to that. Some new states, I guess.
Yeah,
we got some new states to go to. Louisiana will be one. Excited about that. If I get to go on that trip, go film. Because I know Ted and Jake got tags for that. Any new state's exciting, especially that. That would probably be like a different kind of, habitat maybe that we haven't been to, or at least I haven't been to.
I feel that that's pretty consistent. I think everybody's just excited to be going again and always trying something new. So that's.
I'll probably try hunting with my bow a little bit more this year.
Sweet.
I always do in Nebraska. I may pick another state to try to bow hunt.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
A little bit more of that. Yeah.
I feel like every year I might actually be getting a little closer to trying it myself. I don't think I would ever exclusively go bow, but I think it would be fun to try more often.
I mean,
to do something different.
I was exclusively bow for 15 or 17 years growing up hunting in Nebraska and, then got into the shotgun hunting. And honestly, I do way more shotgun hunting now than I do bow hunting.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't go back to exclusively bow, but it's fun to mix it up and kind of throw that in there every now and then.
Yeah. Just a different style, a different like challenge to, have them close and your cover's got to be different. I mean, that's the part, I think the part about it that's intriguing to me is the cover challenge. Because I think the style in which I would hunt would stay exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just picturing myself in any old piece of public land with a bow instead of my gun, and just how much more focus you'd have to put on your hide with no blind and stuff, I think would be really, really, I think that would put a challenge in it that would make it, it makes it intriguing for sure. So.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess with that, that's the end of the Turkey Tour anticipation segment. So thanks, guys. And I think all we have left now are Ted and Keith. So we'll get them on the line. All right, everybody, we've got Keith on the line, and it's a different day. I may be wearing the same shirt. I think I'm wearing a different hat. I'm not sure on the shirt, though. I put this on. I was like, it might be the same one.
Give it a stiff test.
Yeah. I didn't put deodorant on this morning either, so so it ain't good.
Home alone. It's all right.
All right, so the first question I have is, what is your favorite memory from last turkey season?
Probably the hunt I had with Nick in Alabama. It was, I didn't do a ton of hunting compared to like past several years, but I did that one trip with Nick and Ted, and Warb was in there for a little bit, but we ran down to Alabama and I got a tag and hadn't hunted there since we hunted there in 2020 together, mm-hmm. which is like super fun, epic season. And hadn't honestly like hadn't hunted without you very much, especially like we've just done a ton of turkey hunting together. So it was like, it was kind of interesting to have like one of the first adventurous hunts where it was just like me and Nick and not Keith and Zach.
Yeah.
It was, but it was a fun, successful hunt. And we stumbled into a group of four longbeards or something and just found ourselves in a pretty, pretty cool hunt. That was the first, it was also the first longbeard I've shot without your gun, which is like another memorable part of it. But that was just an overall pretty dang fun hunt.
Yeah, that one was sweet. I mean, it was a very popular video too from last year as well. And it was, yeah, just a cool hunt, cool action. Those, well, there's four of them that came in.
There were, I think there were three or four in that group. And then there was one behind us. I can't remember if it was like four total. I think it was three in that group, maybe, and one lone one behind us. But we had gone into that spot, not all the way in the day before, but had kind of worked into that bottom. We had heard birds from real far away in that zone, so we hunted our way in one midday, and we heard drumming and there were like birds real close to us, but they just stayed below this lip, and I think we had to end up bailing out for the day. But we knew there were birds close by, so we just bombed it all the way in. We woke up 3:15 that morning. It was one of those like real early ones. We did had a mile and a little bit to get in there, and we knew we were gonna probably be walking right under birds, so we got in there plenty early, and immediately there were bird gobbling on both sides of us, and we were in like a real deep hole, real secluded, and it was hard to get back in there. So it was, we felt immediately confident that we were in between everything that was going to come together. So we just felt like even if something wasn't going to happen right off the bat, we were going to be in a good spot for the rest of the day. Mm. And it happened very fast.
Yeah, that's always a good feeling when you know you've got like a backup plan.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any lessons that you learned last season?
I think so. Then, so after Alabama, we ran up to Kentucky for a little bit, and I missed my first turkey there actually. And it was a really cool hunt. We had like several birds coming in, and we were able to watch them from real far away. And I made a bad shot, hit square on a tree, and it's like the first time I made a couple mistakes like that last year. And I think each mistake I made was like, man, like I even felt confident when I made that decision, and then it doesn't end up being the result you want. And I think just not getting in my head in the moment, and like after the moment when something does potentially go wrong, just keeping it loose, I think, mm-hmm. it just helps you make the best decisions, especially when you're in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I remember just having a couple hunts where things were going on. It was like, man, this is great. Like on that one, it's like, there's no way we don't get this one. And then they come in a little bit on the side and I was off. I had to like twist real weird and took a shot between some trees. And it was a little bit of a like, man, maybe I should have just like waited or something else. But it was just like, let's not get in my head. Let's just pack up, move on. And so I think that's kind of just my lesson of just being more clear-headed and mm-hmm. not letting things get to me.
Yeah.
Just have fun, because that's kind of why we're doing it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I have that. I've had that thought a lot in recent years, just thinking, like, at the end of the day, like, yes, the most fun option is, like, the hunt plays out the way you want it to. You tag one. But if you don't, yeah, how are you going to bounce back? Or, you know, having the ability to reflect and be like, okay, today is the day that we need to like take the break, you know, we've pushed it too mm-hmm. much or whatever. And there's a lot of that, like keeping a clear head, because I think in the long run, you end up more times than not, and you end up tagging more turkeys if you have a clear head. Where if you're beating yourself up about having missed the turkey, you know.
Yeah.
The last one that I missed that I can think of, at least, that comes to mind, I think this is the last one, was in Virginia with Hayden. And the hunt for that turkey was much more fun. Like, he was gobbling and coming down the ridge strutting and stuff, and he just saw us quicker than I thought he was going to, and he started to kind of dart between trees, and same deal. I was kind of panicked and like, oh no, and sent one down through there, and he flew off. And I remember being pretty, you know, upset about that, but then we turned around and kept a positive attitude and got one later that morning. Like, pretty crazy. I mean, you know, luckily it was great weather and everything went as planned, but it was just like, man, like, might have just blown my opportunity, because we weren't going to be there like much longer, and the weather was going to get worse. Yeah. And, you know, but it's like, if we would have just went packed up out and ran out of there, like, and just been like, ah, we're done, or went home pouting, then we would have definitely not got one.
Different mindset. Yeah. I had one hunt, my closest, I didn't get a bird here in Ohio last year. Hunted a handful of times, but got really close one day, and I was hunting alone. And I think when I hunt alone, I can just like play it at my pace. And it's like, worst case, if I get tired and I'm feeling not confident, it's just like, all right, I'm just hiking through the woods, and I don't have to worry about someone else having a bad time or something. It's just right. Like, relaxed time in the woods. And I struck a bird from across the valley, 600 or 700 yards away, and dropped down, got up on the same ridge, didn't hear him gobble anymore, but was just like moving down that ridge, found a big shed, and was just like, all right, this is just like a fun day. And I ended up hearing him drumming and got like really, really close to getting that one, and it just like didn't totally play out. And I think I just lost patience a little quick. He might end up seeing me, but I heard him drumming right where he had last gobbled at when I was moving in on him, or essentially right in that same spot. And I just hunted the drumming for like an hour, would call and make these little movements, and I finally crawled, and he had to be like 50 yards from me, and I tried to make this crawl up through this stuff and could hear him drumming. And then he probably heard something, and you know, I gave him time to try to come in, and he never really committed. So then I went to him, and I think probably just messed that one up. But that was one where I'm just like, I'm gonna just throw something at it and have fun with it. And it was, that was one of the most fun like solo hunts I've had by myself, really, just because it's pretty intense.
Yeah, I think that there's definitely something to say about that solo, being at your own pace. Something that I've realized is like a thing that's hurting me is worrying too much about, unnecessarily, about what somebody else is thinking, especially if I don't hunt with somebody a lot. Like, truthfully, I don't really worry about it with you. And I hope you feel the same way, but it's like, you know, we're kind of on that same pace. We've done it together so much that I don't really worry about it. But sometimes if I get this feeling that somebody's, you know, getting antsy or wants to move, I almost feel like I feel it more in deer hunting. But it's funny because, like, a lot of times I'm the one that's just being antsy. You know, when I reflect on it, I'm like, oh, you know, Jake wants to move, or Ted wants to get going. And it's like, no, you are just getting bored and you're starting to make stuff up. Which,
yeah, I like hunting alone to where you can have that, your own pace like that. And you make decisions way quicker when it's just like, I need to go there, and you do it. Mm-hmm. And there's no like, do you think we need to do that? But when you're with someone, you kind of have that bouncing of like, is that a good idea? Should we do that? Mm-hmm. Should we do it? And you can at least converse, but.
Yeah, there's pros and cons to it, for sure.
Yeah.
And every dynamic is a little bit different, which is kind of funny, but cool, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, going into this season, what are you looking forward to the most?
Probably just hunting with everyone, honestly. I know I've watched through a couple of the videos of other people's answers, and I know that kind of seems to be a common trend between some, but it's an easy answer, but it's also true. I'm just looking forward to being in the group, and like, we haven't hunted together since barely in 2022 even. Mm-hmm. So just, yeah, getting back out and doing a little more turkey hunting.
Yeah.
I guess I'm excited to hit a couple new states probably that I haven't turkey hunted yet, but
yeah.
be cool.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat pretty much. I think everybody mm-hmm. probably is.
Yeah.
Are there any new tactics that you plan to try or expand your skills on this year?
I guess not even a tactic. Like, I guess one thing I like about turkey hunting is just the ability to cover a bunch of new ground and just use it as an ability to just see new stuff for future turkey hunts or deer hunts or something like that. So just utilizing, just paying attention to the big picture of like not even just turkey hunting when you're out in the woods, just like taking advantage of being in new territories and stuff like that to just learn more. I think that's one of my favorite things about hunting in general. I guess just learning more about the woods and mm-hmm. new places.
Yeah.
Not really a tactic, but
I think that's great mm-hmm. because that's something that I'm really looking forward to going into this season. And I feel like in recent years, I've just recognized how much value there is in paying attention to all wildlife and how they're using certain areas and potentially different cover types or whatever it may be, and just how much value there is. Even if, for example, you see something in one state, like let's just use the example of Virginia, and you see deer doing something there, while you may not be in Virginia the next time you reference that, if there's a similar habitat type, I mean, it could be out west, it could be one state to the north, it could be five to the southwest of there, but you may reference that and be like, you know what, I've seen deer use something like that in that example, or turkeys, or whatever. It might be hogs, it might be bears, whatever it may be. I just feel that there's a lot of examples that I go back and reference that are from turkey season. And then if you can go into that season with that in mind, it just really helps you, I guess, take important notes. Because I think like 2019 and back, I wasn't doing very much of that. I mean, I would go into a place and I'd maybe find a shed or something, but now I look at the map and I'm like, man, I can't even really remember where that was. Where 2020 mm-hmm. on, I made sure to make a good note of it. And the reason was in 19, we went back and deer hunted a place we had turkey hunted in Alabama. And I remember being so mad at myself for not making more notes in my map. Mm-hmm. It's like, why not just make, if you find a sweet scrape in turkey season, you should pin it, dude. mm-hmm. And I don't know.
I remember Alabama 2020, we maybe even several times we saw like bachelor groups of shed bucks, just stuff like that where you're seeing them with the with the toms too. Like a lot of times that they're using the same habitat types. So just learning, like I said, big picture, even not even necessarily just from like the hunting perspective, but just like looking at habitat and understanding how the world is functioning around you is fascinating to me. So mm-hmm. I just love to exist in the woods for that reason.
Yep. The habitat, the terrain, all those things are, you know, super helpful in the future. And I think that's, probably one of the coolest parts about turkeys. All right, Keith. Well, that's all we got for this segment. Appreciate your time. All right. So we got Ted on. Ted, what's your favorite memory from last turkey season?
Favorite memory? I got a couple here. First one is the drive to New York and then doubling up with Warb. That one was probably the most fun I had the whole turkey season, just because I feel like it was the most fun because we were just so completely tired and we were just so goofy. So that one definitely was probably the favorite of last spring. But then the second on the list I had was the youth season turkey with Dad and Caleb. That was pretty fun.
Yeah. Because
don't get to hunt with Dad that much, and to have it work out. I feel like me and him, whenever we hunt together, it doesn't work out all that often. So that one worked out perfect on like the second day. Yeah. And like whole weekend, like they show up, we go out, hear a bunch of turkeys, go in that first morning, and we got in there late for some reason. I was so pissed. How did we get in here late? And they all fly down and they all go the other way, So then the next morning we just got on the backside of them with the canoe, and then they came right to us and shot one. So that one was a lot of fun just because of how it worked out so perfectly with Dad and Caleb. It's fun.
Yeah, I feel like taking new hunters too is always, especially when you get one, super rewarding.
Yeah, and we've been lucky enough to get one like 3 years in a row now. Mm-hmm. Two Jakes the first 2 years, and then Longbeard this year. So it's kind of a good progression for him, yeah. I guess. First year he went, he didn't even get one, and then I wasn't long. And then the first year that I went, we ended up getting a Jake, and then we got a Jake the next year, and then a Longbeard this year.
Yeah, that's so sweet. How old is he?
He's 16, or he's 15 or 16 this year. He's freaking tall as me now.
Right.
Before, when we 2 years ago when we took him, he was like this little kid, and now he's like pretty much same height as me. Hell, he weighs like 170 pounds or something playing football. So he's not really a youth kid anymore, but I think he's got this year to youth season.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm not for sure on that, though.
You do start to hit a point if you've done it like multiple years of your youth career where you start to kind of be like, I'm cheating now.
Yeah. This will be his last year, so it's his cheat year.
Yeah. For the longest time, the biggest buck that I had ever shot was my last season of youth season. I was like 17 years old, because I think you could do it until you're 18. I shouldn't say that for sure, but I think it's till you're 18 in Ohio. So I was like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. So that's, I was cool. Like, I mean, at that point, had been hunting a lot. And it was like, now I can use a gun in the middle of November. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. I figured out though.
Yeah. What's a lesson that you learned last season that comes to mind?
So this one comes from the hunt that Grant and I did out in Wyoming. Mm-hmm. And it's just that making sure that you're in a setup to kill the turkey before you like start calling at them. That was one thing that stood out to me on a particular hunt out there. Cause we always talk about trying to get above the turkey a little bit. And on this hunt, we were above the turkeys to start, and there was like three longbeards down there gobbling. And we worked our way down the hill, and we ended up setting up quite a ways up the hill or mountain, whatever you want to call it, where we could see down. We could see into the bottom like 20 yards, say. But the bottom was out of gun range, so we couldn't even shoot the bottom to like where it meets the hill coming up. But we set up there because we had a good tree and we didn't really know if we could get any closer. They were gobbling real good, so we started calling at them. And sure enough, they walked right up to the bottom of the hill and they were looking up there. And Grant was like, I can't shoot, they're too far. I don't know what they were, like 60 yards or something, probably right there where it's like getting pretty risky. Mm-hmm. And they all three walked up there and they were pecking around and then they just turned around and walked off. But I remember being just so frustrated because I'm like, we knew we could have killed those turkeys because they were just gobbling all. We didn't have to call. They were just gobbling. So it was like, we could have taken all the time to get in that right setup. And I thought we were in the right setup for just because they were gobbling so much. I thought, well, they'll probably, maybe they'll come up this hill a little bit, but I mean, it's so open out there and you can see, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like the same thing of being below them in that situation where they can see so far up the hill, especially out there. There's no underbrush or anything really. It's just those pines. So they can see so far up there. They just walked up and looked at us and then turned around and walked away.
Yeah.
So that was the one that stands out to me, I think, the most from last season.
So if you could do it again, you would just move up that extra 20, 30 yards to be able to shoot that bottom?
Either move up a little bit or just sit and hang out for a while until you know, all right, we can move up a little bit further. Mm-hmm. Just be a little bit more patient because we just kind of bulldozed down in there and we're like, all right, where they're gobbling at right now, we can't get any closer. We didn't think. So we just stopped and set up there.
Yeah.
And we could have just sat there and let them kind of work off a little bit one way or the other, and then made an adjustment from there to where we know we can call them in
with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's that is a good lesson. I like that. What are you looking forward to most going into this season?
Hunting some new states. I think we're going to hunt some different states down south, and then maybe a couple in the Northeast, it looked like. I don't know. Some of these states I saw on the turkey schedule last night, I was like, oh, I didn't know we were going there. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to hunting a couple different new states and going on the giveaway hunt.
Yeah.
That'll be pretty fun.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Because, well, I mean, we'll be down there for like a week with some people that we don't know, and go see if we can help them get a turkey. Should be pretty fun.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Yeah.
Is there anything that tactic-wise or strategy-wise that you're looking to either try this year or like expand on going into this season?
I couldn't come up with anything for this one, but I did write down that I want to try and keep all the rocks that you get in, like the turkey rocks that you get in the gizzard.
Yeah.
Bruce Hall does that.
Yeah.
I put my answer on this one.
You could expand your rock collection. That's perfect.
I don't have any gizzard rocks at the moment. I'd like to start collecting a few of those.
That's so hilarious. No, I mean, that's good. That's good. I think that one of my favorite stories of Bruce was I think it was two seasons ago, we were all over there and hunting in Wisconsin, and Whitney got in his truck to like move it or something, and like just so somebody could get out of the driveway, and she got out of the truck and came over to me and was just like, just totally taken aback at how many turkey beards and feet Bruce had in the driver's side floorboard of this truck, because he had been traveling, like he hadn't been home for months, so he's got all the turkeys that he's shot, he's got their feet and beards underneath his seat. And it was like, I remember her just being like, he's got so many feet down there. And it just like came to my mind when you talked about Bruce having the gizzard rocks. Yeah. That's hilarious.
It's in that truck, packed to the gills. But that was what he was doing in Wisconsin last year. He shot a turkey and then he was like getting the rocks out of there. And then he was showing me pictures from like different parts of the country, and they were all quite a bit different.
Uh-huh.
Well, so I was like, I'm gonna do that this year.
I feel like I might have been like just on the outside of that conversation, because I remember him talking about it and that they're all different. And I mean,
yeah,
I mean, interesting.
Significant difference in the different states it looked like from the pictures he had. So
yeah.
I don't know. It's just something different than a beard and spurs, I guess, and a fan.
Yeah, I mean, you could always. Everybody's always got room to improve their rock collection. So.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, that's gonna do it for this segment. Thanks for listening, everybody, and yeah, we'll catch you on the next.